Okay. Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome you all to the P and PE committee meeting. Thank you for coming. We have an ambitious agenda. And so with that, I will start the meeting and move forward. We will start with the land acknowledgement and the Pledge of Allegiance by Director Talamantes.
One moment, Chair. I do need to get a roll call to make
okay,
sure.
Okay, let's do that then.
Are you sure we're here?
Vice Mayor Talamantes?
Here.
Vice Chair Kaplan?
Here.
Member Vang?
Here.
And Chair Jennings?
Here.
You have quorum.
All right.
Please rise for the opening acknowledgments and honor Sacramento's indigenous people and tribal lands. To the original people of this land, the Nisenan people, the Southern Maidu, Valley and Plains Miwok, Patwin Wintun peoples, and the people of the Wilton Rancheria, Sacramento's only federally recognized tribe. May we acknowledge and honor the native people who came before us and still walk beside us today on these ancestral lands by choosing to gather together today in the act of practice of acknowledgement and appreciation for Sacramento's indigenous people's history, contributions, and lives. Thank you. Salute. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. We will now move to our consent calendar.
I'll move the item.
I'll second.
Item has been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Let the record show we are unanimous in moving the minutes from our previous meeting.
For the record, there was no public comments on the consent calendar.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. All right, we will move to item two.
Thank you, Chair. Item two is the review of applicants for the City of Sacramento Arts, Culture, and Creative Economy Commission. The seat needing recommendation today is seat K. Requirements for seat K are as follows. Member who must have a demonstrated history of community involved interest in fostering the arts, innovation, or tourism of the city, have past or current experience as an educator, supporter, advocate, administrator, curator, historian, or critic of the arts, and is between the ages of 16 and 22 years old at the time of appointment. We have two applicants for review today. Our first applicant is Rosa Maria Orozco.
Hello, my name is Rosa Maria Orozco, and I am answering some questions today why I think I should be a part of this commission board. First question being, why are you interested in serving on this board commission? I have been born and raised in Sacramento, so I've spent most of my time immersed in its culture and creativity. Ever since I was in elementary school and middle school, I've been super inclined towards theater arts. But as I've gotten older into high school, I found myself interested in a government or city position to promote what I love. I love local theater art and commissions for that art. I love theater, and I love that in Sacramento. That translates so much into why I want to give Sacramento my perspective. I want to be able to provide something interesting to Sacramento. I want to provide my youth, which I think is a useful perspective. I think that as a student, I have something to give. I have my love for Sacramento like intertwined with my love for theater. And being able to give that to people is something I'm interested in. And for my experience that qualifies me for this board, I point towards my schoolwork. I am a 4.3 student at C.K. McClatchy Senior High School, and I am part of two of their academies. Their first being HISP, which is a Humanitarians International Studies program, which is a program that takes us out of the normal school system and into these intensive English and history classes that provide us a lot of perspective and integration with culture and creativity, as well as their VAPA program, which is a visual and performing arts program that takes us through the business of performing and arts. And through these programs, I have learned a lot about what to expect from Sacramento, and I think that my programs outside of theater, such as working at bookstores and Fairy Tale Town, give me a lot of youthful insight onto this board.
Thank you for being here today. Our next applicant is...
And if we have any questions, we'll call you back.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Our next applicant is Luvia Estella Guerrero, and they do not appear to be in the chambers today. That concludes our review of applicants. I'm here for any questions.
Okay. So this is my first opportunity to see that there is one candidate, and there should have been two. And so is this an obvious decision as far as moving forward? Or so I would open up the floor for a nomination or any questions that we have of Rosa at this time. Okay, Councilmember Vang.
Thank you, Chair Jennings. Rosa, can you come up real quick? Rosa Maria.
Yeah, I was just about to say two words, one name.
Rosa Maria, thank you so much. First of all, I just want to say thank you for stepping up to put your application to be a commissioner on this board. It's so important that we center youth voices, and I'm just really, really excited that you're jumping in the ring, and I want to say thank you. And I'm just really excited what you're going to contribute to the commission, all your lived experiences, your knowledge of the arts, and your voice is now more important than ever. And so I look forward to working with you. And with that, I'd like to nominate Rosa Maria as the appointee to this commission.
I'll second. Been moved in second. Any further discussion? Questions?
Just Rosa Maria, you are fabulous. Congratulations.
So much.
Congratulations. We look forward to you being the voice.
I look forward to working with everyone.
So let's make this official. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstain?
I think, Chair, we were just so excited because of how eloquent of a speaker she was and being a student voice. We got ahead of ourselves.
That's exactly what I was thinking the whole time when you were sitting there. This can be an intimidating opportunity for some, but it didn't seem like you were intimidated at all. You did a great job. You were very smooth. You came to the point, got all your points across very well, and you knew exactly what you wanted, and you wanted us to make sure we knew what you wanted as well. So great job. I just want to let you know that.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Great. Congratulations.
Great job. Okay. Okay, next item is the review of applicants for the City of Sacramento Disabilities Advisory Commission. The seat needing recommendation for today is seat K. The requirements for seat K are as follows. The member must have an expressed interest or demonstrated history in disability issues or knowledge or experience with disability law, such as Americans with Disabilities Act, the California Fair Employment and Housing Act, and Title 24 of the California Code of Regulations, and is between the ages of 16 and 22 years at the time of appointment. We have two applicants for review today. Our first applicant is Gabriel Adekunle, and they do not appear to be in the audience today. And our next applicant is Mary Claire Igwebe.
And if we've mispronounced that name, please give us the correct pronunciation when you come up.
It was right. It was correct.
Okay. Yes. Welcome.
Hello. Hello, everyone. My name is Mary Claire Igwebe, and I'm here to answer the two questions on why I should join the board. Okay. Are they going to pull up the two questions?
Question.
My name is Mary Claire, and I am interested on serving for this board because I have a family member, my grandfather. He lost his hearing from the Nigerian Civil War. So growing up, I had to learn how to adapt and how to communicate with him. Although I was able to, it wasn't easy for his everyday life to go out and find the same support that he was getting into our house. I believe me being on this board gives a voice of further actions and just further support that we can give not only deaf people, but people who are disabled into our community. The knowledge and experiences that qualify me for this board is I know that homelessness is a big issue that actually connects to disabilities because, for example, if someone is blind, they'll have a harder time traveling and just going every day to an everyday basis because of homelessness. I believe that is something that I've tried to address through my school and through my church, Divine Mercy, by, what is it? Sorry. By We provide food, we make food in our club for National Honor Society and Key Club, and we just do it locally at our church. So I believe small things like that can build up and really create a difference, not only for homelessness, but for disabled people, as homelessness is something that also affects their everyday lives. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. Vice Chair Lisa Kaplan.
Thank you. Thank you. If you learned sign language for your grandfather. This was going to be a difficult decision for me because both of our youth were applicants from D1, but I do. It's one thing to show up, but it's another thing to have that lived experience. Marie Claire, you have that lived experience, and it takes a lot of courage to come up and speak to us about your why. So I want to encourage you to continue using that voice because I think you would be a fabulous addition to our Disabilities Advisory Commission. And so I'd like to make the motion that for seat K, we nominate Marie Claire.
And I'd like to second that motion. I'd like to second that. I thought you did a great job. You do have lived experiences that will be very helpful. And I'm looking forward to seeing you work in this opportunity that's in front of us today. So, Councilmember Vang.
Thank you, Chair Jennings. Thank you, Mary Claire, for having the courage to step up and serve in this capacity. This commission is really near and dear to all of our hearts because it's so important that we address ableism in all its form. And I just really look forward to you serving on the commission and centering your voice and shaping recommendations and policy that's going to come forward to the full council. And so with that, I will third the motion on the dais and look forward to working with you.
Fantastic. Any other questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Again, the record shows we are unanimous.
Congratulations.
Okay.
Item 4 is the review of applicants for the Sacramento Housing and Redevelopment Commission as a continued item from the June 17th, 2025 meeting. Remind members that the seat needing requirement or the seat needing recommendation is seat B, which the requirement is that the member be appointed by the city council and that they not be an elective officer or an employee of the city or county. At the previous meeting, we reviewed 4 applicants, as shown in the staff report. And today we have 2 additional applicants to be added to the review today for interview. So our first applicant is Lisa Felder.
Welcome.
Good morning, thank you. Hi, my name is Lisa Felder. I am applying for the Housing and Redevelopment Commission. I'm interested in serving on this commission because I believe stable, safe, and affordable housing is the foundation for healthy individuals, thriving families, and strong communities. Housing is not just a place to live, it is the starting point for educational success, workforce participation, and overall well-being. Sacramento is my second home, and it faces pressing challenges in affordability, homelessness, and neighborhood revitalization. I want to contribute my skills, perspective, and commitment to equity to help address these issues in a way that is both compassionate and strategic. I'm particularly drawn to the Commission's comprehensive approach, combining affordable housing development, preservation, community revitalization, and neighborhood investment, because it addresses the root causes of housing instability, not just the symptoms. By serving, I would work to ensure that policies, programs, and partnerships remain community-centered, data-informed, and forward-looking with the ultimate goal of creating opportunities for every resident to build a secure future. My experience is in healthcare. healthcare administration particularly. That's my background, where I developed strong skills in program management, regulatory compliance, budgeting, and community outreach. Those skills directly translate to effective service, would translate directly to effective service on the Housing and Redevelopment Commission, because I have worked with diverse and often, as you know, vulnerable populations, and that has given me insight into the social determinants of health, including the critical role of safe and affordable housing, which plays an overall well-being. I have successfully coordinated the homeless, we were Feeding the Homeless Initiative. I was the chair on that committee for my nursing organization, and I managed resources responsibly and built partnerships to improve community outcomes and experience, and I will apply to advancing the commission's mission.
Thank you for being here today. Our next applicant is Preston Wong.
Good morning, Chair Jennings and members of the committee. My name is Preston Wong. I'm an early career urban planner working for a small consulting firm here in the area. I've been in Sacramento since I was 9 years old, and over the past 14 years, I've really seen our city, our region, our area really grow and change in big ways. And, you know, having spent most of my life here, I've really ingrained in myself that Sacramento should be a place that's affordable, accessible, and a vibrant for, you know, anyone who wants to call Sacramento home. You know, housing and community development are really central to what makes a place livable, and I really want to be a part of the work that, you know, makes that happen. Not for myself, but, you know, for my neighbors and my fellow residents as well. My educational and professional background have always been focused on public service. As a student in college, I was an academic researcher studying housing affordability issues for my fellow students. And now, in my work as an urban planner, I work every day to make, you know, our community sustainable and livable for people in our state. I'm committed to understanding the challenges that my fellow residents face, and my neighbors, and my family. And, you know, I'm really committed to making myself a lifelong learner. And I would like to contribute toward the work that the commission does on a daily basis to make, you know, housing affordable for Sacramentoans. Thank you. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you very much. Questions, comments at this point? Okay, we'll do them at the end for you, okay? Thank you very much.
Yes, that was our final applicant for today. So I'm here for any questions that the committee may have.
Okay. Chair, do you have any questions?
So, I have questions, but I don't think they're appropriate for this opportunity to speak at this time. So, I'll open it up to the directors for questions, comments.
I think we have a lot of great candidates. I think bringing in people who work in industries that might have lived experience or working with those who need affordable housing, because this is a conversation we're having as what version SHRA and housing and homelessness takes. As we know, the senator is also working on a comprehensive plan in this regard, and I think it's important at this time to avoid any appearances of potential conflict or conflict. So I am open to my colleagues. I think Michael Flamonte, working in labor and working with those who do not have a lot of opportunity to get into housing, and that takes up a majority of their household income. And Ms. Felder was really impressive listening to her. So I am open with my colleagues on those two, because I think it helps keep things clean and streamlined as we move forward.
One seat, six candidates. Mm-hmm. Okay.
If nobody's else, I mean, I'll make a motion. Ms. Felder is here to nominate Ms. Felder for seat B.
Could I ask a question for the candidates that are here? Is that okay? Yeah. Well, first of all, I just want to give a shout out to two of the applicants because they were from District 8. And I want to say thank you so much for stepping up to submit your application and being interested in serving in this capacity. And no matter who we appoint, I do hope that that you will apply again because there are other boards and commission, other ways to serve this community. I know that this is only one seat, and so definitely want to take this moment to thank both Lisa and Preston. Thank you so much for applying, especially because you live in District 8. My question for both of you, and if that's okay if I ask, and I don't think there are the other applicants are not here, just these two, right?
There may be other applicants. Oh. I believe applicant Jonathan Cook is in the audience.
Okay, who else do we have that's in the space?
I believe from the previous meeting, from the June 17th meeting, the applicant Jonathan Cook is in the audience today, and I don't believe any of the other applicants, Michael Flamate or Brooke Miller Jacobs, is in the audience today.
Okay, great. I think a question that I have for all of you, and I'll have Jonathan go up first since he's been sitting and listening, so that everyone get an opportunity, is as a commissioner, if you get appointed, what is the number one policy recommendation you like for the commission to focus on? I know there are so many complex issues when you talk about housing and whatnot, but we'd love to hear what is like one policy recommendation that you would like to offer up to have a conversation with the full commission.
Thank you. Good morning, Jonathan Malgarejo Cook. Yes, for that question, I think continuing the work that SHRA and the city and the county with the housing authority have been working on to continue to seek to utilize and to leverage as much as possible the funding to be able to continue to build both affordable and permanent supportive housing. That's the number one priority and the imperative for the agency to be focusing on, to both build affordable housing as well as reduce unsheltered homelessness throughout Sacramento and throughout the county. And I think opportunities to work with the council and with the Board of Supervisors to leverage state and federal funding as a priority, especially when we're seeing budgetary challenges. And as a commissioner, with my experience as an affordable housing advocate, as well as a long experience working in the nonprofit sector, that's experience that I'll be able to pull from and leverage that knowledge as well.
Thank you, Mr. Cook.
Thank you.
Ms. Fielder, could you?
Yes.
Hi.
Do you want another one policy that I would?
Yes. What like is one policy you would like to recommend to the commission to discuss and bring forward?
It's housing, but mostly homelessness, which would segue into affordable housing. Mm-hmm. As I stated earlier, my passion is the homeless, and I did serve on several committees. We were making brown bag sack lunches to feed the homeless, which, as you know, segues into affordable housing. We have got to tackle this homelessness issue, start it really a grassroots issue, and work our way from there. And I would serve as a vital integral part in that capacity.
Thank you, Ms. Felder. Appreciate it. Preston, Mr. Chi Wong? Yeah.
One policy. We need a little more diversity of housing. I think we need to change a little bit of our zoning laws or make efforts towards revisiting them. We're building large single-family homes over and over and over again that are just quite unaffordable for many of our residents. So we really need a diversity of housing, you know, condos, townhomes, more apartments, and that's what really would bridge the gap. Because, you know, at the end of the day, the issue is supply, right? It's a supply and demand issue. We have a lot of residents and not enough housing. So we need to increase our diversity of housing and allow that to really bridge that gap.
Thank you so much, and thank you to all three of you. Those are all my questions. It's tough when you have good candidates all in front of you.
I know.
I'm looking at my colleagues.
And only one position.
And only one position. I will say that because there's only one position and we have to choose one person, I really do hope that the remaining candidates do, you know, reapply, right? Because there will be other openings again. And really just want to thank all three of you for stepping up and putting your application in. And with that, is there a motion already or...? Okay, I'll second that motion. Then.
Any further discussion?
The
I'll chime in. So I agree with Councilmember Vang on all the different commissioners that applied, including the union advocate that is not here today because of the work and the organizing that he's doing in the workplace. And I just really appreciate everyone applying. And I'm going to go ahead and support the motion on the table and do say that, Mr. Cook, you do amazing work in the community and have a really powerful voice through your day job. And so I'm really looking forward to working with you on next steps and to continue applying. Thank you so much.
Okay. Any further discussion? Questions, comments? Okay, we have a nomination for Lisa Felder. And it has been seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstain? Congratulations, Lisa Felder.
She's so cool.
Okay. Next item, please.
Our next item, item 5, is the annual report and performance evaluation for City Council appointed officer, City Clerk.
Good morning. I'm Mindy Cuppy, your City Clerk. It's my pleasure to be here today. The item before you is the evaluation of the City Council appointed officers and specifically annual report of the Office of the City Clerk. As you know, the City Clerk is appointed by and reports directly to the Mayor and Council. Clear communication and performance metrics are the core of the work of the City Council and the City. To evaluate Council-appointed officers on a consistent basis, the Personnel and Public Employees PNPE Committee has the role and responsibility of developing and leading annual performance metrics and evaluations, and I appreciate the opportunity to present to the committee on a team that I'm very proud to be a part of. So what is a City Clerk? So Sacramento City Charter Section 71 states, the City Council shall appoint a clerk who serves to have the custody and shall be responsible for the official seal and records of the city. The clerk shall be the secretary of City Council and boards, commissions, and agencies of the city. So what does that really mean? So the City Clerk oversees the activities and functions of the Office of the City Clerk, including supervision of staff, performing highly advanced organizational tasks as prescribed by city charter, city code, state law, and various ordinances resolutions. We initiate, develop, and implement policies and procedures to execute the laws and administer the work of the city and the Office of the City Clerk. We maintain and disseminate records of actions of legislative bodies, ordinances, resolutions, codes, and other governmental documents, and we provide highly responsible and complex administrative support to the members of the City Council. I like to think that the Office of the City Clerk is the living room of the city, where all collaboration takes place. All staff reports pass through us. We make sure council, colleagues, and our community know what's going on. And we host the community in chambers. So we are also the city's records keepers. So some of the things we do, legislative management. We publish agendas, coordinate staff reports, create minutes, preside over meeting, and process legislative documents, which are ordinance resolutions. Last year, we staffed 298 public meetings, processed over 2,000 staff reports, over 400 resolutions, over about 31 ordinances, and 374 motions. There were 171,000 visits to the city's legislative management webpage, which is where you view upcoming and archived meetings. And 79% of those visitors accessed our site on a computer and 21% from a mobile device. We're responsible for 29 legislative bodies, 24 of those being our commissions and our boards. So we are the elections official for the city. In November 2024, we had a mayor and two council races, District 2. In District 4, and one measure on the ballot, which was the library parcel tax. We have so Fair Political Practices Commissions with our compliance officer there. We have over 1,000 Statement of Economic Interest filers. That's the FPPC Form 700 you're all familiar with. We have over 100 active campaign committees. So public records requests. We processed over 4,000 records requests last year. 79% of those closed in 10 days. And as you know, many are very complex these days and have email and text components and significant department collaboration with different departments and our city attorney's office. However, average close time is about 32 days. So we are your tickets administrator. So we welcomed 2,721 guests into the suite at the Golden One Arena. 82% of those tickets were distributed to community groups for the purpose of promoting community, cultural, recreational, educational, and social services, facilities, and programs available within the city. Of course, we are operational management for the Mayor and City Council. We processed over 800 checks, 300 purchase card statements, over 500 stipend invoices and payments, 46 travel requests, and that's over about 2,400 financial transactions entered, processed, and approved for the Mayor and Council. So our annual report, which is part of the staff report, goes into more detail, so I'll highlight only a few things. So in addition to the statutory responsibilities of the city clerk, over the past year, the following were significant accomplishments. City boards, commissions, and committees. This year, we continued to uplift commission voices. We updated the underlying municipal code that governs city commissions, which is Sacramento City Municipal Code Section 2.40. This included updating appointment procedures, how vacancies are filled, attendance policies, and standardizing terms and limitations on terms served, reasons for removal of a commissioner, chair, vice chair consistency, staffing, and review. We also reviewed all commissions in acting code and updated for consistency and clarity. This program solidified a high level of customer service to our commissioners and gave them the tools they need to be effective advisors to the City Council. We treat commissioners as if we were onboarding a council member, ensuring they're knowledgeable about the city-specific codes and rules, the Ralph M. Brown Act, Parliamentary Procedure, Public Records Act, the Political Reform Act, and the scope and authority of the commission. We worked closely with a training vendor to modernize our ethics training, the AB1234 training, and our sexual harassment training, which is AB1825-1661. We now offer it through the same portal that commissioner files their Fair Political Practices Statement of Economic Interest, the Form 700. And for this initiative, we were honored by the California Municipal Clerks Association with an Innovative Program of the Year Award, and that was awarded in April this year. Mayor and Council operational support. This past year, we welcomed Councilmember Roger Dickinson, Councilmember Phil Pluckybaum, and Mayor Kevin McCarty and their staff. So Sacramento Sister Cities. We continue to support our Sister Cities Council of Sacramento. We've hosted representatives from our sister cities of Matsuyama, Japan, and Jinan, China this year. The council meets quarterly, and our office has created agendas and includes reports from each city's representative. We attend meetings and document their activities. The council approved Havana, Cuba as a friendship city and is working on criteria for recommending new sister cities to the city council. The council is interested in updating their bylaws and updating, and we're actually upgrading the Sister Cities Friendship Garden. We have a garden cleanup this weekend if anybody's bored on Saturday. I know Vice Mayor will be there for a little bit. And I know this year, Councilmember Kaplan, you've welcomed Jinan China students and Matsuyama Japan Middle School recently. I have presented to the following organizations: the City Clerks Association of California, the New Law Conference. We presented on onboarding new council members, the City of Sacramento Neighborhood Development Action Team. We do that annually. City of Sacramento Summer at City Hall program. We're pretty active in welcoming those students and helping them get their staff reports in front of the City Council. The City of Sacramento Management Academy. We present to the Nehemiah Emergency Leaders Programs on how to serve on a commission. We do that annually. And to the Sacramento LGBT Community Center, we also present on how to get involved in a commission. And of course, we continue to assist the council in moving their priorities forward. So some of the goals for the next year. We're going to modernize our legislative management platform. That's not only just the technology, but we're looking forward to conducting training for end users on system operations and staff report writing. We're going to update our conflict of interest code and update our records retention schedule. Both of these take considerable coordination with city department and, of course, our city attorney's office, who has been fantastic to assisting us in doing that. So the office of the city clerk consists of an extremely dedicated and competent staff. We are motivated to provide exceptional service to our internal and external customers. During my presentation, I used the term city clerk and the office of the city clerk interchangeably, because they are one of the same. The city clerk is not an individual, but a collection of amazing staff. You see many of them here. So I'd like to take a moment to recognize and thank the individuals that make the office successful. You'll see their names online, but Wendy, Cammy, Betsy, Jenna, Jacob, Sydney, Haley, Judy, Rosanna, Lana, Heather, Melanie, Jennifer, Katie, Ton, Amanda, Anna, Cynthia, Cece, and Sapphire. And you know all of these people, but I think it's important to acknowledge each of them individually. So thank you, team. So thank you for allowing me to continue to contribute to the success of our city and to serve alongside of you. That concludes my presentation. I'm looking forward to a closed session evaluation with the full city council, and I'm available for any questions.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Great presentation, and thank you for the support material as well. Vice Chair Kaplan.
Thank you, Chair. One of the things I just want to follow up on, because one of your duties is legal noticing, and we know that there was a mistake on the legal noticing. I think it was the BOT. What have you put in place to, you know, have that review or make sure? Because when items have to go out for election, as you know, doing it right and transparent is really important. And what have you changed or put in office to make sure that, you know, mistakes don't happen on items like that?
Absolutely. Thank you for that question. We do have significant checks and balances on each of our teams. I think we have three platforms. We have an agenda management platform, we have a records management, and then we have the admin team who does processing. So we have those different teams kind of back each other. In regards to the business operations tax, that actually wasn't a mistake. There isn't a legal requirement for the office to print that legal noticing, and I'd be happy to provide that documentation. When the Bee reported on that, I did do an editorial to correct them, because the ultimate for an election, the ultimate noticing is the voter guide, and so where it's published there. And so typically we go above and beyond. In this instance, we did not go above and beyond and publish that legal notice. What the Bee reported on was really about the argument and rebuttal period, and that's noticed nowhere. The ordinance is typically, with an ordinance of the City Council, the ordinance title and summary are typically posted, but with an election, our code says we don't have to publish those because the ultimate publishing is that voter registration guide, and I'd be happy to provide that article.
Thank you for that clarification. As you know, we're heading into difficult budget times. How are you working with your office to be part of the greater city team so that all of us handle these budget deficits and difficult times that we all have to manage, knowing potentially we've got to find reductions? And, you know, how are you managing that priorities and also working with the city manager on that so that the city clerk's office is included?
Definitely. Thank you for the question. We typically look to technology to be more streamlined. One example is we no longer have a receptionist. That's one position that we gave up in the budget this year. So we don't have a physical person sitting at the front desk. We have an iPad. I call her Wanda. And it's the technology really allows you to check in remotely. We've taught all of the council offices how to utilize that. It's not that friendly, smiling face. But as council knows, if we have an event or we have something that we do need to have someone sitting at that desk, we can provide that. But we typically look to technology to be more productive. We're doing our agenda management system. We used to do this complex, you've probably seen our agenda preliminary agendas. It used to take hours and hours and hours, and we're cutting that down using technology improvements.
So that's a kind of great segue of, are you looking at more where AI or other technology items are out there to help reduce resources and find cost savings?
Absolutely. I think AI is just an underutilized tool. There's some cities that are utilizing it for closed captioning and even language access in chambers. We're really exploring that and how we can do that, working with our IT department on how we can utilize that here in chambers and for our public meetings. So I'm pretty excited about that. I also think in AI, I read an article once and it said, think of AI as that staff member. So when you're doing a project or you're thinking about something new, always say, did you ask Bob? and Bob is my AI person. I ask Wendy, who's probably sitting at her desk listening right now, we were talking about campaign finance. And, oh, is she already here? She should be working. So we were talking about campaign contribution limits. I said, we should probably look at what the top 10 cities in California, what are their contribution limits? And should we be changing ours? Should we be looking at doing that? And so she asked AI what they thought, what Bob thought. Mine has a girl name, but a female name. But they gave her the top 10, and we were laughing. She said, no, do better. And AI did better and gave us more data and the links. And so learning those prompts, I think, is pretty powerful and try to figure out what we're looking for. So even simple things like that, I worked with our city attorney's office, Mr. Ruyak, to do FAQ sheets for our ethics commission. So all of the laws, those ethics laws that the commission is responsible for, I asked AI to give me an FAQ, and it was pretty darn good. And so we're looking at working with the attorneys to kind of polish that and then post those FAQs so people know this is high level and an FAQ about that ethics law and how to not violate that.
Awesome. And then lastly, it's a little different because, you know, we as council have several appointive officers and you each kind of stand alone. I know sometimes there's tension. How has you as a city clerk and leader worked across the board to also address tension where it may exist so that we are a cohesive city?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I always think it's not tension. It's really not understanding what other people are working on. So I'm an advocate of over-communicating, whether that my team will tell you. We use Teams on steroids, and so people knew, okay, my glasses magically appeared here in chambers because I put a Teams post because it's like, I can't even read my phone. Can somebody bring me my glasses? We know when people are going to lunch, going to take a break, going for a walk. So we constantly communicate. And I do that the same thing with the council direct reports and my colleagues. So with the attorney's office, the city managers, you know, my colleagues sitting over here that are, you know, here to support us. We really over-communicate. If I run into Councilmember Jennings in the hallway and he's upset about something or has a question about something on the agenda, I'll reach out to that person and say, have you heard this? Before council meetings Tuesdays, we wander the halls. You'll probably see me wandering around because someone will say, you know, that's that agenda item I have a question on, you know, was it noticed here? Tell me something about this. And so I'll be able to reach out to that staff member or that direct report, you know, my charter officer colleagues to say, this question's coming your way. Think about that. So it's really over communicating so that we kind of know what each other is doing and how we can support each other.
Thank you. That are all my questions.
Vice Mayor Telemontes.
Thank you, Chair. I don't have any questions, just comments on good job on the council rules of procedure and the decorum and safety plans and how we're going to work together here in this council chambers, you and your team. Thank you for being flexible on my weekly check-ins. I know I change the times all the time. and then responding to random questions that I have via text, via phone call. You're just really quick to get back to me as soon as you can. So thank you so much. And then also working with the commission, I know that we were doing a lot of policy changes on how our commissions work, and there were a lot of concerns and, you know, questions that commissioners had brought up. And so you worked with this committee to be able to find a solution to that. And I do want to say your team is small, but very mighty in managing everything and all the boards and commissions and the PRA requests that come in and managing the team's channels and keeping the operations on the fifth floor going. So I just want to say thank you so much. I do miss having a person at the front desk of City Hall. What's her name, Wanda?
I call the iPad Wanda.
Yeah, I don't really like Wanda. I prefer human face, but I also understand that budget times calls for those type of measures. So thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank you, Vice Mayor, for your assistance. You mentioned decorum and safety in chambers. I worked with you and Council Member Maple on those rules and how to maintain decorum in chambers and to be safe, you know, for mm-hmm. our constituents and for the council. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Council Member Vang.
Thank you, Chair Jennings. I will keep my comments short. I was hoping that Mr. Lambert, Mr. Davis, was going to be in the audience today. but really just wanted to take this moment to say thank you for all your hard work that you and your team, your entire team, everything that you do in the city to make sure that we're organized and that we're doing everything by the books as much as possible. I know that there is a lot of room. There's always a lot of room for continuous improvement, but just really appreciate all the great work that you and your team do day in and day out to make sure that we can run the city. And so those are all my comments, and looking forward to the closed session evaluation. And thank you so much for your thorough presentation.
Thank you.
Okay, I will close out the questions or comments. I want to ask a question, and I want to build on everything that's already been said, because I just think that you and your entire department have done an incredible job with all the multitude of responsibilities that you have. And I try to figure out how you stay up with all of this. And I heard you say over-communicating, so some people may look at that as a negative, but I, too, look at it as a positive. So I was really glad to hear you say that. But out of all the things that you've done in all the number of years, what are the top two or three things that you're most proud of?
That was a great question. You know, I thought a lot about that. As you mentioned, day-to-day responsibilities are sometimes overwhelming, that we are publishing agendas 1, 2, 3, 4 a day. This team is mighty. They're in chambers every single evening. We give them Friday, Saturday, and Sundays off. But other than that, my office is in this room every evening, and they're publishing agendas every single day. So I think one of the things I'm most proud of, if we've actually made accomplishments in addition to keeping all those balls in the air. So we have City Code Chapter 2.40. You guys probably think that's silly. I started here 8 years ago, and that was the first thing that Wendy, my chief assistant city clerk, talked about. And we kept saying, well, next year, we'll get to that. But it's very rare that people look at cleaning up code. So our boards and commissions each had a different code, and they looked a little bit different. But we actually stepped back and took the time to make sure that those codes are consistent. I worked for Ted Gabler, who was a city manager back in the day, wrote Reinventing Government. So that was kind of my model. And he used to say, who's looking at the municipal codes to see what we can take off the books? What can we clean up? And so I'm proud that we've actually had some time to do that, to look at our boards and commissions program and give them the tools they need. They never had. We've developed a onboarding video. We've got a handbook for them. We actually do orientation and try to make them be successful. When we started, we didn't clerk. We didn't do any agendas. And I remember looking at agendas and thinking, oh, that's not Brown Act compliant. But we're doing that now. So being able to take on those big projects while keeping all those balls in the air, I think, is what I'm most proud of.
Fantastic. So based on your tenure, based on your history, based on working with you, and I think I speak on behalf of all of us, I'd like to make the motion to receive your annual report and move it to the full council for review.
Second.
It's my motion, seconded by Vice Chair Kaplan. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye. Oppose, abstain. Again, we are unanimous. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning.
How you doing?
Good. I thought there'd be more of a standing room only to listen to this, but I'm just sad Mac Worthy's not here, because he always questions my ability. I want him to actually listen it here, so maybe he doesn't ask the questions he does in session. But I want to thank my peers. It's good to see you guys. I'm sorry I wasn't there for you. I was out of town on business, but we have a great relationship. We support each other. We admire what we do, so thank you. Jacob, do you have to announce my coming?
No, I could announce that this is item 6, annual report and performance evaluation for City Council Appoint of Officers, City Treasurer.
Thank you, Jacob. Well, good morning, Chair Jennings and members of the PP&E Committee. I'm John Colville, and I'm the treasurer for the City of Sacramento. I'm entering my 22nd year with the city and my 10th year as a treasurer. Today, I'm here to discuss the responsibilities of the treasurer's office and some of the many accomplishments that the team has produced this last year. I understand this meeting is an element of my personal job assessment and part of the council's annual performance review of district reports. Let's start off by defining the role of the city treasurer as defined by the city charter. The city treasurer shall be responsible for the deposit and investment of all funds of the city treasury, not made subject to the control of others pursuant to the charter. This definition is extremely broad and elementary, but as you will see, the responsibilities of the position has evolved into an office of three separate business units: banking operations, debt management, investment management, all managed by just 9 folks, down from a staff of 22 when I started in 2004. The office currently has 5 vacancies, 4 after the last budget meeting, but we will have held them open given the budget deficit. I'm not sure how sustainable this is given the anticipated staff turnover as many of us have reached retirement age, and I'll show you the logistics on that. This slide depicts the gender and ethnicity of the office. As the slide depicts, the department consists of 6 females, 3 male employees. The racial breakdown is striving to meet the city's diversity, equity, and inclusion commitment. In addition, 2 of the 3 division managers are women. Some of the interesting and potentially concerning facts about these amazing people are: the average age of my department is 54 years old. We have a total of 201.6 years of city experience in my office, of us 9 folks, with an average tenure of 15 and a half years in the department. So just doing the math shows you a lot of us are coming of age, and we might have problems backfilling given the ability to succession plan, given the budget deficits, and given the small staff. But now, let me speak on positive about what the outstanding work that these folks do for the city. Kim Gladden is the city's budget operations manager. She has been with the city for 24 years and is a citywide lead, program manager, and principal liaison between the city's business units and the city's banking vendor. She monitors over 70 merchant accounts with 4.9 million transactions a year, grossing more than $234 million. Since COVID, Kim has worked diligently with city departments to create more efficiencies in the collection and disbursement of city funds by creating more electronic transaction options. Due to this activity, Kim has increased gross sales for the city by 5%. Electronic receivables are at a 61% clip, and disbursements are at 75%. So a majority of the city work is done electronically and not at the counters. Kim also coordinated and co-led the annual PCI compliance audit, which ensures that all credit card information received by residents is secure. She was responsible for training over 240 staff members in credit card security last year. Kim's also worked with the city's bank and IT and revenue receiving departments to develop a project plan for citywide consumer-funded service fee programs, which you'll see at the 2 o'clock meeting today, something you'll vote on. Debt management, second of the 3 hats that we wear in the city treasurer's office. Debt management division manages approximately $1.6 billion of debt outstanding issued by the city, various financial authorities, and the redevelopment agency successor agency. Additionally, any debt issued by the Aggie EIFD or the Rail Yards EIFD, if it happens, will be managed by the division. Brian Wong is the manager of the division and has been with the city for 22 years. He and Claudia Laura are responsible for all aspects of debt issuance, which includes debt service payments and financial reporting, disclosure to bondholders and rating agencies, rating agency presentations, pre- and post-debt analysis, financial modeling to determine bond feasibility, and managing the entire debt process itself. Some accomplishments that Brian's group has done this last year was a $36 million issuance of the Greenbrier CFD. As Councilmember Kaplan knows, that was not an easy task, and we're coming up on the second tranche here soon. The planned development includes 1,177 new homes, a TK-8 school, and 3 parks. In District 8, we completed a $15 million issuance of the Delta Shore CFD, Improvement Area 1. The planned development includes 348 new homes. Again, we'll be doing another one of those tranches this year, which will be on my thing. And throughout cooperation working with the rating agencies, we secured rating increases for the TOT, for the Golden One bonds, and the water revenue bonds. So that means our borrowing costs should be cheaper going forward, thanks to the hard work of Brian and his team. And finally, we completed the comprehensive update of the transit occupancy tax forecast to determine the city's feasibility to issue additional TOT bonds for eligible projects. And as you know, the council approved a $25 million for Old Sac, and that'll be something we'll be doing this coming year. I thought this was an interesting graph had Brian thrown in. It shows depicts the city's prudent policy in debt financing city projects. As you can see, the city's general fund portion, the straight line, or not so straight line, but the continuous line, shows an annual downward sloping, but we see significant reductions in 8 years, with a complete pay down of general fund debt in 13 years. The city last issued general fund debt in 2015. This is a direct consequence of two constraints that council put on our debt program. And an independent general fund stress test needs to be completed before we issue new debt, and debt cannot be more than 6% of net revenue, general fund revenue, which we're fine with, but we still cannot pass a stress test, as you know, by our budget situation. The council enacted, at the request of prior city managers Hanson and Harris, these two constraints at the request of my office. Again, I think that's very depicting on where we sit from a debt service situation. It's getting much better, and it'll be much better in 8 and 13 years. So that provides more opportunity for future councils to really invest money. And finally, an investment team headed by Stacy Hussey, an 11-year city employee, so she's very young in the process, manages the city's Pool A, SHRA pool, as well as investments and endowment trusts, and Sacramento City Employees Retirement System, SCRS. The investment team of two portfolio managers and two operations specialists manage and account for over $2.1 billion in assets, a gigantic feat for just four individuals. Patrick Zalaski, the senior investment officer, is responsible for $1.8 billion of the city's Pool A. The portfolio is consistently ranked in the top tier of California cities in terms of yield, in addition to keeping pace with the state local agency investment fund, a difficult task given that the inverted nature of the yield curve since the pandemic. As you remember, we went from zero rates in the pandemic at 8.09 during the recession up to 5% because of the pandemic, and hasn't come down. So it's been difficult for people to invest in the 0 to 5 range to keep track with people that invest in the 0 to 6 months. But we've done very well with that. As stewards of public funds and being consistently aware of budget issues that are affecting many municipalities, including ours, the investment team evaluated the cash flows of paying the annual CalPERS payment monthly or in a lump sum. If payment is made in a lump sum, CalPERS offers a savings of 3.2%. For the last few years, the city has made the lump sum payment to realize the savings. But in the last fiscal year, the investment team determined that they could earn more than 3.2% by laddering a series of investments and making the monthly payments. This strategy enabled the city to generate a significant interest income in the funds and save the city $1.8 million in their CalPERS investment. The Treasurer's Office also manages $10 million in endowment funds. The Ann Land Berkshire Hindle Endowment is for the Sacramento's poor and indigent. The Hart Endowment is for Sacramento seniors, and the George C. Clark Scholarship Fund is for high school seniors, for college scholarships. These funds are managed to generate investment income that's distributed to their intended beneficiaries. The largest endowment is the Ann Land Berkshire Hindle, which allocates income earned by portfolio holdings to CBOs that assist Sacramento's poor and indigent staff. Over the last 7 years, the investment staff has increased this discretionary budget by 36%, allowing more funds to be invested back into the community, something that we are very proud of when we meet with those folks in November. Finally, Stacy Hussey actively manages the $250 million SCRS portfolio, which is a closed, defined benefit system that was established for employees hired prior to 1978. There's currently one employee left working here, and she's coming up on her 50th anniversary, and she's still contributing to SCRS. Everyone else has moved on. Like the Pool A results, the portfolio has had outstanding performance. This fiscal year, the portfolio returned 10.63% versus the actual assumption of 6%. The funding status of this system is at or near 105%. And you compare that to your CalPERS and CalSTRS, they're at 75 to 78%. We're at 105%. So we have more money in that portfolio than is needed to pay the benefits. To give context, the SCRS plan outperformed CalSTRS this year by 2.2%, as you can see in the graph, and slightly underperformed CalPERS, which I think will be reducing their performance once their subjective pricing on their real estate and private equity comes to debt. It's usually a quarter in advance, so I think we'll outperform them as well. Again, impressive results for two investment officers versus CalPERS and CalSTRS as extensive. They have hundreds of investment officers. Shirley Topaz and Katie Nguyen, both 24-plus years city employees, ensure all trades are settled, all cash is transferred, and all positions are reconciled daily. A yeoman's work completed by two very knowledgeable and invaluable staff members to ensure regulatory compliance and transparency. This is my favorite one. I know you guys love this one. This slide depicts the additional value the staff has added for the fiscal year from both investment returns and management fee revenue and salary savings. We have added $21.3 million in investment performance compared to our peers. And that's $6.7 million in department operations. This includes the 1.8 that I discussed in CalPERS earlier. Please note the vacancy savings. At the mayor's request, we held back five vacancies back to for the budgetary issues. This last budgetary situation, you guys took one of them. I just want to note that my department is a little different than most. We earn $3.1 million in excess of our expenses every year that goes back to the general fund. So we are net positive to the general fund. Our goals going forward, I kind of alluded to a few of them. We're going to implement a citywide service fee to eliminate the city from paying credit card fees. Currently, when consumers or citizens purchase things, purchase parks, purchase utility bills, they pay a credit card fee. We're going to pass that on back to like most jurisdictions do. You'll have that on your 2 o'clock agenda, which should save the city about $900,000 annually. We're going to work with finance to move top suppliers to an e-payable platform to increase the banking rebate to offset banking fees. We're going to work with YPSI on a new gateway for secure credit card and debit card payments. And we're going to establish citywide credit card fee policy and establish safeguards against credit card fraud. Brian's team's going to, again, you're going to see at a 5 o'clock meeting today, we're going to do a refunding of those 215 bonds that are general fund related. We're going to save $5 million back to the general fund. It's going to be $1 million each for the next 4 years because we worked with Pete Collette and decided that we want to front load those savings because the budget issues are so concerned right now. So we're going to save $5 million to the general fund. We're doing that $25 million TOT issuance for the waterfront, which is the first tranche that was the council decided on. We're going to complete the Greenbrier, second tranche of Greenbrier, second tranche in Gold and Delta Shores. We're going to work with the finance department for the Innovation Park CFD EIFD. We're going to kick off the Aggie Square bonds. So two folks are doing all this. That's the problem. We're going to provide analysis and support for citywide projects like the Sacramento Valley Station, I Street Bank Bridge, and work on 102 acres. And we continue to recruit for vacant positions within the department. Again, that's a difficult task. And I'm going to, maybe this isn't the situation to bring it to light, but the responsibilities of the positions under Brian don't match the compensation, and we're not able to hire. We've been trying to hire for that position for 3 years. Individuals with the same job description can go work 2 blocks down in the county for a significant increase in compensation. So I've been trying to work with XCXEA to try to bring some continuity to that so Brian can actually backfill, because from a succession standpoint, we're in trouble. We're in trouble because a lot of us folks are close and there's no one backfilling. Hate to bring down the mood a little bit, but an investment, we're going to train a new investment officer. We snagged someone from budget. We snagged Jason. He's now working for the treasurer's office as an investment officer. We're going to continue to outperform actual assumptions for the SCRS retirement plan and eliminate the need for future city funds. The city has not made a contribution to the STRS contribution in the last 3 years, and prior to that it was 1.3 plus million, so we're saving the city 1.3 million annually by outperforming our benchmarks. We're going to work with internal and external lawyers to determine the dispensation of assets once the plan becomes inactive. So SCRS becomes inactive with that one active player, there's going to be money left over. And the charter doesn't speak to what does that money go to the beneficiaries or does it go to the city? So we're currently having an external attorney work with our internal folks to determine, and might have to do a charter amendment to determine where that money goes. We're going to continue to update policy and procedures to assist in the succession plan for the office. We're going to implement a new management fee policy for pool participants that could generate up to $500,000 in additional department revenues. We have not changed the pricing schedule on our pool of participants in 14 years. By adding 2 basis points and bringing it more up to normal, we're going to add about $500,000 in additional revenue. And we're going to continue to work with council and city manager to find financial solutions for affordable housing, climate initiatives, and economic development, and other strategic strategies. So with that, I'm done. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
We hope you are never done. Vice Chair Lisa Kaplan.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to our treasurer and your 10 years of being in this position. You've done a lot with a little. And I always ask the budget question, but you already answered it, because basically looking at how we do fee appropriate, distinctly with everybody else, that $900,000 saving just within credit cards is a great move, which thank you for being proactive in that regard. So I don't have to ask you that question because you've already told me that, as well as congrats on the refunding. People don't realize how hard it is to stay on top of when exactly refunding is right and you get the maximum amount of, you know, because it all changes. If we refund now, are we maximizing or do we wait a month and it might be better and we could get more? So the $5 million in savings and that refunding.
It changes daily, really, council member, because with the volatility of the marketplace right now, when we started looking at it, we were 7% savings. Then when the Donald did what the Donald did, it dropped down to 3% on, you know, on Independence Day or whatever he called it. I forget what it was, Emancipation Day. And then it's back up to 5%. So it's kind of a fluid situation.
Yeah, no, and I get how difficult that is because it is a little bit of blindfolded, throw the dart and hope. From the time you get council approval to when it all comes in, I know that that money and that potential savings does change. I want to state publicly on the record that I do support whatever you need for realignment with salary and positions. I think with your vacancies, one, that isn't sustainable, but two, the fact that you know that the job description and the salary don't match what you need. Whatever you need to go forth and conquer on those of working with our labor negotiators, I'm supportive of finding a way to match that because that's how you create sustainability in your department. One question I do have when we look at your report, and congrats on SCRS being overfunded because we know the market's going to be volatile, so you could be underfunded next year for all purposes of when return on investment comes. But with CalPERS and CalSTRS, we're only 75-76% funded. Is there anything you want to do differently so that we get that funding level up?
Different from whom? To CalPERS?
I don't know. To SCRS.
Well, my goal is to do is to insulate the SCRS portfolio. Once we get interest rates of near or above 6%, I want to buy an annuity or something once the last person finally retires where it's guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So if you're guaranteed to get 6% on, it's a $250 million portfolio, we can buy an annuity or a GIC or something that guarantees me 6%, I can step away. And all of a sudden it's taken care of. Okay. So that's my plan, is to get a little more conservative. Every year we get a little more conservative because we went from 7. When I first started here, we were at 7.75% or 8% as an actual assumption. And every time we outperform and gain more funding, we've dropped it down. So now we're down at 6%. There's probably going to be push for us to drop it even lower and make so we're allowed to invest in bonds and not so much risky assets. So, yeah, my goal is to move towards a self-sustaining portfolio that doesn't need anyone to monitor it. It's the payments are guaranteed based on the earned income of the portfolio.
That was the answer. I was kind of the self-sufficiency,
yes,
because of the volatile nature of everything, to insulate the city in our retirement and making sure we're funded, because that could be a big problem.
Well, if you look at the port, we get it every October, the actual report. We have $250 million in this fund. There's only 700, and Stacy's probably going to kick me, that I think there's like 700 beneficiaries. There's only one active. So if you do the math, there's probably going to be a pretty good sum of money left over because the average age is 78 years old. People, unfortunately, are passing away faster than the actuaries assume they are. So I think we're probably higher than 105%. So there's going to be money left over. We just need to determine who that money goes to.
Which, thank you for being proactive and working with attorneys who are really specialized in this, whether we have to go to a charter amendment or not, or is there enough flexibility for determination?
What I think the end result is going to be, it might be a charter officer, but I think you might be able to take that surplus money and put it to your CalPERS.
That would
ability.
Be awesome, yeah. Because then that would get us close to 80-90% funded, which then heads us towards self-sustaining, which we need to get to as a city. And then I've worked a significant amount with you and Brian on a lot of the Natoma stuff, and I just want to say thank you and going above and beyond with some difficult meetings and finding a way to move forward. I just want to say I appreciate, and then going above and beyond, while we have a budget deficit, it is extremely hard to continue to get credit rating upgrades. So whatever you did right, because I know they know about our budget deficit, but to get that, which in the end saves us money as a city, thank you for what you've done and how you run this office in being a economic driver, because we can't cut our way out of this budget deficit. We have to grow our way. And you are helping part of that solution. So thank you.
And I think a lot of the ratings, I got to give a pat on the back to Pete, because Pete comes to our meetings. He comes and talks to the rating agency. He kind of has a plan. He doesn't sound panicked. And I think he really, really corresponds to what the people want to hear.
So. And that's my final thing of how you work cross-departmentally, seeing and knowing that you're working with the city's budget office and the city manager's office and that. Thank you. Because we can't do things in silos to do it the right way.
Thank you, Councilmember.
I'm good.
Vice Mayor Talamantes.
Thank you, Chair. Just like I told our city attorney's office, it's important that our employees don't leave us, that we can retain them, and that we're competitive in the market. You know, retention is cost savings instead of having to hire and hire. So the realignment makes sense and also supportive of your efforts on that. And I just want to say in your presentation, thank you for saving us money. Thank you for making us money. It's music to my ears because of our budget deficit. And just thank you so much for all the work that you do.
Thank you. Thanks, Vice Mayor.
Councilmember Mivang.
Thanks, Chair. Well, first I just want to say we all can't be experts in everything. Grateful that we have you as our treasurer, because sometimes when you're talking to me, it goes over my head, because it's like there's just so much nuances, you know, the market, everything. I'm just like, John, if you're making money for the city, that's all I need to hear, right? But in addition to all the nuances and all the great work that you and your team are doing in terms of the economic piece, I also just want to just take this time just to say thank you for your leadership and being incredibly responsive to me and my council office and to my colleagues as well. I hear nothing but great things about you from other staff, other departments, the work that you do. And so I know this is an evaluation. We're going to have a conversation in closed session, but I just want to say thank you for everything that you've done, and also for District 8. I mean, the 102 acres was possible because you were in the space with former mayor and the team, and it couldn't have happened without you. So I just want to say thank you for all your hard work. And I know you've been with us for a while, and I don't know how many years you have left, but I'm grateful that we have you here, and you're supporting and serving the city. So just thank you so much for your service.
Thank you. It means a lot.
So, John, I'll join my colleagues in thanking you for the report today, and I'll make the motion to receive the report and to pass it on to the City Council for review. I'll make that motion and look for a second from my colleagues. But not only for today and the report that you received, that you provided, for your 10 years as a treasurer and the work that you've done, and my colleagues have all spoken about the work that you have done and continue to do. And then on top of that, 22 years with the city of Sacramento. And, you know, that's just incredible. It's a great example for so many to follow. And through it all, you have been an incredible leader and an employee who has always done his job well and done it with excellence. And so there used to be a guy that I know by the name of Mr. Davis. And he was one who always spoke of commitment to excellence. And I just thought to myself, I pictured you in a Raider uniform, and I said, he is, without question, he is a Raider, and because he is committed to excellence. And so I just want to say, glad to be on your team, glad to be here, that you're here with us. As Councilmember Vang said, a lot of this sometimes goes over our head. Right? And we just sit here and nod our head as if we understand it, right? And then we get you in a room and we say, okay, tell me that like I'm a third grader. Explain that to me so I can really understand it. But appreciate your knowledge and what you've done for the city and making us a better city and all that you've done, all you continue to do, and all that you will do in the future. So great report. Thank you.
Yeah, Rick, if you remember, it wasn't an easy task to get me hired. I was an interim for a year and 10 months, and Daryl had to make me meet with him like 5 times, and then I wasn't the first choice, I was the second choice. So, yeah, I was waiting for the what are you most proud of? That I was a second choice 10 years ago, and that I've gone through 3 mayors and multiple council members, and I'm still here. So it's like Tom Brady getting selected when, you know? I mean, so I'm not Tom Brady.
That's your proudest moment.
So there is no public comment on this item, and we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? We look forward to the next opportunity.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you, sir. Okay, to my colleagues, any comments, ideas, questions, meeting reports, lunch? Okay. There's no public comments that are not on the agenda?
That is correct.
That is correct. With that being said, our business has been done here, and we will adjourn this meeting.
Great job, Coach.
Thank you.